There's a lot of fascinating history about America's great icon, that is the Liberty Bell, and we're going to talk about that right now in this discussion with Dr. Peter Lilback, who is the founder of Providence Forum. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and I have the privilege of serving now as the executive director of the Providence Forum, which is an outreach of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Dr. Lilback, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, sir.
Jerry, what an honor to be with you and the broader ministry that you represent so well. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. And you've been ministering for years in Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia, of course, is the home of the Liberty Bell. Why don't you tell us about the history of this great icon of America? Other than maybe the Statue of Liberty, the Liberty Bell is really the symbol of America and the U.S. flag, of course.
Yeah, but it's a remarkably important symbol for our nation, and its story is truly remarkable and often not very well known, even though it's such a famous symbol. So first of all, what we need to remember is the city of Philadelphia was a city that was named before it was born by the Quaker minister, William Penn, who had a deep commitment to Christ and Scripture. And because of his having been persecuted in London under the Anglican Church as a dissenting Quaker, he had this vision of a land that would be free, where consciences would not be molested by government. A utopian dream for that day for sure, but the Lord in his providence opened up an opportunity through the payment of a debt to the family. William Penn's father was an admiral, and the crown owed him an estate gift to pay back his service. And his father passed away and left it all to William, and William asked for it in land. He got 300 miles into the wilderness along the Delaware River, and he only asked that the land that would be given would be the equivalent of the debt, and he would be able to make the laws of the new land. And, of course, he named the first city Philadelphia. We'll talk about that perhaps another time, but it comes right from the Bible. And it was an ancient city that means brotherly love. And he wanted to name the city that because he believed his city, a planned city, would be a place where people with different religious convictions would come together and they would have common civil rights and respect their inner consciences of religious matters that may widely differ. And so that was the first expression of religious liberty. And he based it, as he wrote, on the defense of conscience, on the golden rule of Jesus, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. In other words, he was not happy when he was put in the Tower of London for being a Quaker. And so he said, when the Anglicans come to his town, he's not going to stop them. He's going to give them the very liberty he wants for himself by applying the golden rule. Well, this idea of the city, they said it would never work. Well, by the time the Liberty Bell is put in place 50 years later when it's ordered, it's because the city had grown so big that people couldn't hear the small city bell anymore. And of course, the bell was the call to major events, news, gathering of government, celebrating the passing of someone or a major piece of legislation, whatever. And so as a result, they ordered a bigger bell from the Whitechapel Foundry in London. And didn't have the technology to make one in the United colonies. They weren't even United colonies. They were just colonies then. And so it was ordered. And as the order was being made, Governor Norris and, according to the best records, Benjamin Franklin were part of the governmental committee to evaluate what should be placed upon the bell. It's an ancient custom when you make a bell to put a verse, a quote, a scripture, a date, a place, a city, something that means something significant, kind of like a cornerstone on a building. There would be an inscription on a bell. And as they thought it through, they came up with the idea of putting Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10 on the bell. And it basically says, proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. So just to stop and make the point, when they wanted to honor this new bell for a city that had grown so large in 50 years, they turned to the Bible. But because they were such great Bible students, they went to the Jubilee chapter. Remember, the Jubilee chapter celebrates the 50th year. It's a double sabbatical year, and Leviticus 25 is where you read about that. And so they looked in that chapter, and they found verse 10 that says, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. And they were mindful that in 1751, when they were ordering the bell, it was the 50th year of William Penn's Charter of Privileges that began and ended with the statement that no one will be ever molested for his religious commitments or conscience in this commonwealth. In other words, it began and ended with the commitment of religious liberty. So the city that was thought to be a utopian vision, now 25 years after the ordering of this bell, 1776, Philadelphia had grown to be the second largest English-speaking city in the world after London, even though it was 3,000 miles away across the ocean. The gift of free land or inexpensive land plus the freedom of conscience was so attractive that it drew people from all across Europe and all across the other colonies. They said, we're going to Pennsylvania. And it became, if you will, the seed of a nation, which is what William Penn prayed, that Philadelphia and Pennsylvania would be. I conclude with this, and maybe, Jerry, you want to pursue something further. But when the king heard of William Penn's proposal, he said, well, I have a cash flow problem. That's what he's thinking to himself. I'll pay him land. That's far away. I'll never be able to use it. Give him land. And I'll name it. And he named it Penn's Sylvania, means Penn's Woods. And William Penn, being a Quaker, horrified at the thought of arrogance and pride, said, you can't call it after me. This will be viewed as vanity on my part. And as royalty is wont to say, as you can see in the scriptures, when Pontius Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. He said, I'm not changing. It's going to be called Pennsylvania. And so William Penn says, let it henceforth be known that Pennsylvania, Penn's Woods, is not named for me, but it's named for my father, Admiral Penn. So Pennsylvania means Admiral Penn's Woods, according to William Penn, as named by the King Charles II. So that's how we got the bell. Now, there's a lot more to it, but that's how it came about.
Now, and the bell itself was initially hanging in what we call Liberty Hall. Or tell us there, you know, and how did the bell get a crack in it?
Okay, well, basically, where the bell ended up being was placed in what we today call Independence Hall. It was really the Pennsylvania State House, and the pedigree of the Pennsylvania State House is the same year as the birth year of George Washington, 1732. So two great symbols of America, our first president and the meeting place of the Declaration of Independence and Constitution, both started in the same year. So what is interesting, though, is that when they put that into the bell tower, they first of all had to ship it all the way across the ocean from the Whitechapel Foundry, and they set it up. And they tested it, and guess what? On the very first ring, it cracked. It's amazing. The first ring, and it cracks. What do you do with a 3,000-pound bell 3,000 miles away from home that's cracked? You can't send it back for repair. Nobody
knows
how to
fix the bell.
Well, basically, what they did is that two young men by the name of Pass and Stowe, mechanics, said, forgive the pun, let's take a crack at it here. We'll melt it down, pour it again, and we'll try to make the biggest bell ever made in North America from the original. So they do it, out it comes, and they put on the same verse again, Leviticus 25, verse 10 at the top, by the order of the Provincial Council of the Colony of Pennsylvania. And they changed it, obviously. It's no longer made at Whitechapel Foundry. It's now made by Pass and Stowe. It's not made in London. It's now made in Philadelphia. The date is different, so they add a year or two. And so they ring it, and everybody says, it sounds terrible. You can't use that bell. They cast it in such a way they didn't get the harmonics right.
Mm.
And so they broke it down again, melded it down,
wow,
made it again. They put the Bible verse on top. Above, by the order of the Provincial Council, they put the Bible verse on top, and it sounded fine. So when you look at the bell, even today when you get up close, you can see There's lots of imperfections in it, and that's because a couple rookies, amateurs, were remaking a broken bell. So people have often asked, why did the bell ring the very first time it was rung on North American soil? Well, one answer is shoddy British workmanship. The other answer is those stupid Yankees don't even know how to ring a bell. And then the other answer might be because America had not become the United States defending religious liberty. In God's providence, the bell is now made, it's put in place, and it's served quite well for some years. Now, what's fascinating is that when the British invaded Philadelphia after the Battle of Brandywine, you remember they lost Brandywine, Washington had to retreat, and now Philadelphia falls into the hands of the British. Lord Howe is the general, and he's in charge. He takes the city. And they realized the bells all were potential cannonballs and musket balls, so they took them down and they hid them so they would not be turned into a lethal force against the colonists.
The Patriots.
That were standing.
The Patriots so took them down, yeah.
Yeah, so the bell was taken down, and it was brought all the way north to Allentown, about 70 miles north of Philadelphia, and it's fascinating. I like to say the Liberty Bell went to church for 6 months in the basement of Old Zion Reformed Church. So there's a little Calvinistic theology in the Liberty Bell. And when the British left, the bells came back and was put up. Along the way, it dropped. Some say that might have helped to weaken it. We don't know. But it was a long, rough road, and they had to take it on the wagon to hide it away. So it was put back in place. And this rough, rugged bell now is ringing out the American story. Before it had gotten taken down for the battle of after the Battle of Brandywine, it had rung out on July 6th, as I recall. Maybe it's July 8th, but it's after July 4th when they publicly read the Declaration of Independence for the first time. So fascinatingly, so think about it. The bell is ordered to celebrate 50 years of William Penn's Charter of Privileges. It is given the biblical verse of liberty, it will be the bell that will ring out American liberty and independence on July 4th, and then it will be part of that whole story until some years later, after America is established, it's ringing out the story of the death of John Marshall, one of the first, he's the second Supreme Court Chief Justice, the man who's famous for the Marbury v. Madison case that established the Supreme Court's right of judicial review, which is what the court does when it strikes down a law and says it's not constitutional. So that was under this wonderful man who passes away now. But that's when the bell cracked again. So now think about it. It was brought to America. It cracked. It was melted down. It sounded terrible. They melted it down, made again, and it was there. And now it cracks for a second time, having been remade two other times. So now what do they do? They sit down and they drill the crack out so the pieces are not rubbing on each other when vibrating, making a terrible buzzing sound, and then they put rivets in it to plug it. And that's why the crack is so visible, because it was drilled out so they could continue to use it. It was drilled out and mended, and they continued to use it until it was ringing out, I think, some years later to celebrate a Washington's birthday, and it cracked again.
Wow.
This time they took it down and they looked at it and they realized that it cracked from where the drilled out crack was, and it takes a turn to the side and goes up, and it goes right through the word liberty. Wow. So now they have the bell cracked a second time, having been repaired, and the cracked bell can't ring anymore. It's now damaged too much, and liberty on the bell is suspended over a crack.
Wow.
The bell is now silenced. Liberty is over a crack.
Yeah.
And so what do you do with an old broken bell? Well, they put it in the corner and they think, well, maybe someday we'll make it into junk. But it just so happens at this time.
Well, wait. Can I interrupt you? What I want to do is let's continue this discussion, because basically we're out of time for this particular segment. But we'll continue with the Liberty Bell Part 2, including how you and your organization made a remake of it. Dr. Peter Lubeck, providenceforum.org, for more information. Thank you, Peter. God bless you.
Thank you.